Hello. Can I use this chair?
Yes, use the
I
chair.
don't want to just stand at the podium. All right. So, yeah, my name's Melissa. I don't know many of you. I know a couple. Like Eric said, I've been here at North Cincy. My husband and I, and my one son, who will be two here, and another one coming. Yes. Let's see, where do I want to begin? Okay, so I'm gonna share my testimony, share the story of grace, and I'm going to do it a little bit in the narrative of the Bible. So creation, fall, redemption and restoration, if you guys are familiar with that. So I'll kind of share a Bible verse or a section from each of those four sections. So creation, and then I'll share a little bit of my story in light of Eden. Obviously, we all live beyond the fall, so it's not exactly like the Bible, but you'll kind of see. And then I'll share a part of the fall and then redemption and restoration. So to start with creation. So in Genesis 1, God declares that it was good, it being his creation, and God saw that the light was good. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were called together. He called seas, and it was good. The earth brought forth vegetation, and it was good. God made the day and night with two great lights, one to rule the day and the other to rule the night, and God saw that it was good. God made the animals, and he saw that it was good. And finally, he made man in his image to rule and govern, and he saw that everything that he made was good. So that's Eden, right? That's the way that we were intended to live, right? That's the way that it's supposed to be. We all know that it's not that way, but so let me share a little bit of my Eden. So when I was born into a family with two older brothers, two parents that were married, Christian family, grew up in northern Chicago, about an hour north of Chicago, and we had a lake behind our house that I swam in every day in the summertime. It's pretty ideal. I loved to read, loved to learn, loved to draw, write. I was very creative. And I got along great with my brothers for the most part. And I had two awesome parents, my mom and dad, both Christians. And I was especially close to my dad. My dad really encouraged me to grow in my faith. He really encouraged me to be creative. He loved to read my stories. He loved to see my artwork. He decorated his bathroom with my artwork because that was the only place my mom would allow him to decorate anything. So, and so yeah, my dad and I had a very sweet, close relationship. My mom and I were close. She kept everything together. She did finances, she did meals every night. So everything was really stable with my mom, and my dad was kind of the encourager of just my creativity in my mind. So that was my Eden. I thought everything was great, everything was awesome. I worried, of course. I was a worrier. I still am a worrier. I get anxious pretty easily. So I'd have thoughts laying in bed at night. What if my parents died? What if something horrible happened to my brothers? What if someone broke into our house? Things like that. But for the most part, I was protected from emotional pain and physical pain. So then we have the fall. So in Genesis 3, we obviously know that Eden didn't last. The Bible states, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And if you continue on in Genesis 3, there's the curse that's given to humanity, basically, just saying that all of your work will be futile, and yeah, you can read about it. So my fall, or what I experience, is, okay, life isn't perfect. So like I said, I had a lot of fear and anxiety. One of the fears that I had was about my parents and their health, right? So when I was in fifth grade, we knew that there was something going on, that my dad was going to have some kind of procedure, my brothers and I. For a fifth grader, I didn't ask a lot of questions. That's kind of my approach in general to life. Like, don't ask a lot of questions, stay naive. So I didn't ask tons of questions, and I knew that something was going on, but I didn't quite know exactly what. So I got called out of, in fifth grade, my classroom, you know, my name over the loudspeaker, Melissa, come to the office. And my mom was waiting there after this procedure. And I found out that my dad was diagnosed with cancer. At first it was, well, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's not. It's a tumor in his colon. But come to find out with more testing, he was diagnosed with type 4 cancer, colon cancer, which is the worst. So my father was, my father was someone who was very agile, very athletic, just always on the go. And to watch him slowly deteriorate from cancer was really, really hard, especially when I loved him so much. And he was like my first love, you know, like my first person that I cared for. So he had surgeries and he had chemo, and it just wasn't working. Eventually it was diagnosed as terminal, meaning he was going to die from it. And so for me, I'm a very empathetic person. I'm a counselor. So I really connect with people, and I connected with my dad in a way that he told me before he died that I was like the person, his best companion during his sickness. Like, he felt like I understood him. And like hearing that now, knowing that was like such a burden for a middle schooler to carry, but I was all about it. You know, I was for him. I wanted to ease his pain as much as possible. So my dad, he joked, he was like, you know, he called himself a druggie when my mom would bring him all his medicine that he had to take, and we laughed about it, and he was lighthearted about it, and but it was still obviously really hard. So those 3 years, fifth grade to eighth grade, basically we lived with death every day. He was eventually sanctioned to his wheelchair because it spread to his bones and he broke his leg. And he would teach his high school math classes and come home and nap. So I didn't get to see him tons when he was definitely in treatment. And yeah, it was just really, really hard to watch that. And so he made it to my eighth grade graduation. He was able to see me graduate. I remember him in his wheelchair, like jokingly taking photos with a fake camera, like he was gonna remember it in his mind forever. And I like walked past him and I saw him do that. And I was like, Dad, you're ridiculous, but I love you. And so he made it to eighth grade graduation. And then quickly after, it was just downhill. So that June 30th, he actually passed away. In our home, he was on hospice. And I don't think I would have been able to say it at the time, but I was relieved to a degree. I didn't have to deal with death every day. I didn't have to face it every single day. I can say that now and know that that was like an okay response, you know, as a kid, you know, to constantly have that. So like high school, college were times when I started to lie about how I was doing. I was fine. I'm fine. I'm great. Like everything's cool. I'm good. Yeah. I was a pretty much straight A student. I was a good athlete. I ran cross country and track. I just like was fine. And I like pulled myself together and I did my thing, you know? And like, I'm sure if I asked my friends, like, yeah, you seem great, you seem fine, you know, whatever. Of course that was a hard thing, but maybe you overcame it or I don't know. So, and then college was kind of similar. I was doing a lot of, performance-based, I can look good, I can do the right thing, I can be involved in a church, I can do, like, Young Life stuff, and I can be fine, you know? But I was slowly, it was draining on me, and I experienced depression and a lot of anxiety, and I controlled. Like, that's the best way I can explain it, is, like, I just, like, was, like, I can control this, I can do this, and I tried really hard. I believed that I'm in control, I'm not going to depend on people, God definitely can't be trusted, other people probably can't be trusted either. So those were kind of the things that I just, like, those were core beliefs that I had, and I still struggle with those thoughts. When I'm in a hard place, my husband and I are in a fight, or whatever it is, I'm like, I don't need you. I don't need anyone. I don't need God. Like, that's where my heart definitely goes. So then we have redemption. Let me get my card here. Okay. So redemption, really simple verse. Obviously we know, or not obviously, but we might know that Jesus Christ came. He was the better Adam, right? So we have Adam and Eve sinning in like disobeying God in Genesis 3, the fall. But then we have Jesus coming and making everything new and everything good. So one man brings all this pain, one man brings all this healing, right? So Jesus Christ did that. And the verse I have is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? So I didn't share much about my faith through the two other sections, but this is where I want to share where God did something amazing, and his grace was sufficient. So I was, as I expressed, grew up in a Christian home, and I was, as I said, like very works-based. If I could perform well enough, if I can be good enough, then I can bring God honor and glory, and he'll appreciate me, and my family will appreciate me. And so, but as I said, in college and high school, I was trying my best, and I was getting really exhausted. And then after college, I just kind of was like, screw this, I'm done. Like, I'm done, I can't, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, I'm so anxious, I'm so depressed. And I just kind of lived my life. I wasn't interested in having community. I kind of wanted to do what I wanted to do. And it was through total happenstance, like beyond even my comprehension. But I decided, I had run in high school, right? And so I decided, you know what? I really enjoy running. I'm still running. I'm not doing it competitively, but I would love to coach cross country and track. Like, that'd be really fun for me. So I reached out to this, like, literally so random. I reached out to this guy from a small Christian high school in Indianapolis called Heritage Christian. Sent him an email. I just said, hey, I'm interested in volunteering, doing cross country track. If you need help, I'm willing. he responds back immediately and is like, we've been praying for a girls coach for a year now. And you could come coach and also we'd pay you. And I'm like, what? Okay, cool. Yeah, sure. I'll take it. Because I was like working at a coffee shop after college. So I started coaching, and the man that I met and am now like really close friends with, one of my best friends, is Eric Ritchie. And he was, like he had such a heart, he has such a heart for young people, and he had such a heart for me. And I remember sitting in his room before kids would come into his room to get dressed and changed, or like after they were dressed and changed. And he would just tell me about the Reformed faith and was like, the already, the not yet, you know, all the things, just drawing diagrams on his chalkboard and explaining things to me. And I'm just like eating it up, like, what? This is great. This is great. I love this. So he and his wife, and at the time, 3 kids, they have 6 now, they invited me to Redeemer Presbyterian in Indianapolis. And I remember just sitting in the church, listening to Jason Dorsey, the pastor, and I just was like, what in the world is this good news? Like, this is the gospel of grace, and I didn't know it before. It was hearing, like, I don't have to do, and I can stop pretending, and I can stop, pretending, and just like rest in what Jesus has already done for me and how much God loves me. That was like, I mean, every Sunday I like looked forward to it in the morning. I was like, I can't wait to go to church today. What is Jason going to talk about? This is going to be so good. And so did I become a Christian through Redeemer? Maybe. I don't know. There was a lot of foundation set before then, but maybe, you know, like I think doesn't always have to look like a instant prayer. It can look like a whole life of, you know, I don't know how the Lord works. So, but yeah, so I started going to Redeemer, and then I was interested in getting my counseling degree. I had a sociology degree undergrad, and I decided to look into Covenant Seminary. I was like, sure, it's a Covenant, cool, whatever. People were like kind of pushing me that way. And I went to Covenant, and I would say like healing came through Redeemer, but even more through Covenant, through Jesus and just the people that were there. So I got theology classes. I got counseling concepts that I applied to myself. I was going to my own counseling for 3 years, and I'd never been to counseling before. And so like, yeah, the Lord just worked so much good through people and through ideas and ultimately through his spirit. And yeah, so I went to Covenant, great time, awesome friends that I met that were a huge healing process to me. So I think I just learned like God is dependable. I can trust him. He actually cares about me. Like he didn't, my father's death wasn't like a punishment for something I didn't do or a way that I didn't perform, or it was part of the fall, part of brokenness, part of sin. And yeah, I just learned of God's love, like in a different way than I ever had before, through his people and his word, you know. I remember one class that I took, I was informed to write a paper on the Trinity and who the Trinity is to me. And I remember like looking back now, I'm like, that's a very honest paper that I wrote. But I wrote like, God, I understand he's the Father. The Holy Spirit does the work, but who is Jesus was like my honest response. Like, I don't really understand like what his, why we need him exactly. And like, I prayed, like, Lord, help me to know more of Jesus. Like, help me to know who he is. And like, I just like was reading my Bible and just needing it. Like, who is this Jesus? And really like encountered him as a person. And so that was just such a sweet, sweet moment for me. And had like a lot of questions and had awesome people to talk through with that. So redemption is still happening in my life. I think I'm healing still. The Lord is teaching me more about Him. I have an amazing husband who brings so much truth and so much grace to my life and constantly points me to Jesus. He's such a gift that I think I never would have thought I would have been married, honestly. I never thought I could trust someone like to be married. And the Lord brought him in my life, and he's been such a gift. And being a mother has been a challenge for sure. And it's been really sweet as well. So I think redemption is still happening. Healing is still happening. But we can look forward to and know that restoration finally will happen. And so in Revelation 21 and 22, with just a focus on 21, 1 through 5, I'm totally spacing on who wrote Revelation right now, but he says, like, he's envisioning heaven here. And so this is what he says. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" And this part always gets me. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making things new." So I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I'm very excited for it. I will let you in a little into my heart. I'm a huge foodie. I love beauty. I'm like all like beautiful clothes, beautiful furniture, beautiful homes. Like, I love it. I love connection with people. Like, I will constantly grieve. Like, I wish I was more connected to this person, and I wish, like, I could really share my full heart. I wish they could share my heart. Like, I love connection. I desire so much for connection. And yeah, like, that idea of being known and knowing other people is like a deep desire of my heart. And so when I envision heaven, I just think of, and I know this is a little silly, but like, I think of a huge long table, like in the middle of the woods. Think like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. Lights hanging, maybe suspended in the air, maybe on trees, whatever. And like, beautiful, beautiful silverware, goldware, maybe, who knows. Plates, china, beautiful china, glasses, crystal, and we're all dressed in like the best prom dress ever, you know, or the best wedding dress, whatever you want to think of. Cool tuxes, I guess, I don't know. And yeah, like, think of your best friend, like your very best friend that you can tell anything to, and that you can share any of your embarrassing thoughts and like any of your embarrassing actions or whatever. And like, that person sitting next to you, but like this person next to you is also that friend. And like, the person across is that person. And like, everyone, you just know each other in that intimate way. That's how I view heaven. And in the middle is Jesus with God the Father. And like, it's all possible because of what Jesus has done and who God is. And he's with us, and he wants to be with us and hang out and have this beautiful dinner, you know. And who knows about the food? I'm sure it's delicious too, right? So that's, I mean, obviously not my hope that we can always have great meals together, but like, that we can be together in heaven and there's no pain, and we're all loving each other and loving God, like, and connected with each other. So who knows? We'll see one day. So that's my story. If you have any questions or anything that you want to share with me, I'll be hanging out in Kayla's group with her till the end. So thanks for listening.